This is the G.I. Joe and Barbie in Love podcast, where we give you brutally honest dating and relationship advice from an opposites attract kind of couple who see life and love extremely differently. I'm Cindy, and against my better judgment, I still believe in fairy tales.
I'm Andrew, and I can smell your relationship BS from over a mile away.
Join us as we guide you through the uncomplicated, complicated journey to love. Welcome to episode 12 of the G.I. Joe and Barbie in Love podcast. I'm your host, Cindy, and I'm here with my co-host, Andrew.
Right on.
In this episode, we will be talking about the five love languages and relationships. Right, Andy?
Yeah, we're going to be covering Dr. Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, The Secret to Love That Lasts. And it's going to be a favorite of a lot of counselors. If you go to any kind of relationship counseling or self-improvement counseling, this book, along with Men Are From Mars and Women Are From Venus, are popular ones that they like to throw out. We do have to put out there that this book is now 30 years old, and it may seem a little bit dated, but it's pretty simplistic, and it's information and pretty easy to understand. It's an easy read. I don't like to read.
I know you hate it.
But luckily for all those listeners out there that catch this podcast, I've done the legwork on this.
You've read both books.
I've read both those books. I don't really remember. The problem is I can read a book, but I don't really remember the information. But I took notes and I can skim through stuff pretty good. And I did make it through college, so I know.
Well, one of us has read both books and the other has not. So, well, I think we should talk about a few things from the last podcast about not being a crappy gift giver. And I just wanted
Was that the word that you bleeped out on there? Crappy? Or was it?
No, it was the S word.
Okay. I said the S word.
But I got to thinking about it afterwards and about practical gifts, and I'm not one that likes like the rat spray, not a practical gift kind of a person. And I was just wondering if men prefer practical gifts versus sentimental gifts. And maybe that's an alpha beta thing too. I don't know.
No, I don't think it's an alpha beta thing. I think it's just what your value system is. Part of the podcast we're going to have today with the five love languages, one of them is gift giving. I think that if that's what's important to you and that's what you think, you're going to appreciate it a lot more than...
Well, I mean, like I see all these kitschy things on ads on Facebook or whatever for these like weird specific man things. Like I just saw one. It was a flower bouquet made out of beef jerky. I mean, like I'm thinking to myself, would a guy even like that? Or, you know, because
I think that when I started doing the blacksmith thing and you had me that stamp made with my logo on it, I mean, that was a pretty big deal. I thought that was pretty neat. And that was something that was thought out. But you knew that was what I was into. And I mean, that's a special thing. You designed it for me and then had it made. I mean, that's pretty big deal. So yeah, I guess that was a big deal. Some of the other things that you made, I do appreciate them, but I mean, it's, you know.
You're not going to hang up the sign that I wrote that whole thing for you. That whole story is not going up on your wall for random people to see.
Well, it'll eventually probably make it somewhere. But the problem with stuff like that is it's like, if you're not a super well-managed house cleaner, you're going to get dust and stuff on there. And that's kind of my deal. So eventually it'll make its way up. And like I said, I mean, it was neat. I remember getting it and I remember it was really well-written, which most things that you do are real made out and stuff. So yeah, professional grade.
All right. Well, considering we're heading in that direction anyway, let's get to our topic for the day.
Okay, folks, so when you talk about creating a monster, since last week I did some of the work on, most of the work on the podcast, setting it up and outlining structure, Cindy has now become accustomed to that, and we'll be doing it again this week. So
I don't think that's how I would phrase it. I just want to say that I'm happy that you can appreciate the amount of work that I put in before. And two, I was a little burned out on some of the legwork, so I'm glad that you're taking it.
Yeah, and plus I think you're a little bit impressed on how I was able to do it.
I was, actually.
Yeah, and for guys out there and anybody that does stuff like this, fairly young, when I was in the Army, they taught me how to do an operation order, and basically that's how I set up an outline. But let's get into it. You said you didn't read the book, but I do have all the information on this. But Cindy, do you know what the five love languages are?
Of course, because I did not want to come into this podcast completely unprepared. So smart. I did look them up. I wanted to know, though, what brought the subject up in your mind as something that we should even discuss on the podcast. It kind of surprised me, frankly.
Well, I think that it's a book, when I did read it, I did think that it was simple, and I think it does play in a little bit between the discrepancies you find. I think it has a more application for men to women, because I think that guys come out being a little bit simplistic, most of us, but women have a lot more broad range of what causes them to be in love and maintain love. And I guess in guys too, I guess it really can't just pin it to one gender, but I think that this stuff is easy, and I kind of have somewhat of a knowledge of it, so I thought it would be something I would have some information I could talk to and hopefully give some people a little bit more tools or whatever for being more successful for what they're doing out there. Did I answer your question, or what are you?
Yeah, you can ask me a question. Or unless you
want, I did ask you a question. What are the five? You didn't tell me what the five are.
Oh, you want me to tell you?
Well, you can go ahead and tell me what the five are if you know what they are.
Well, of course I know what they are.
What are they then?
I even took the quiz. Did you take the quiz?
No, I didn't take the quiz, but I made up my own quiz, and we'll get into that in a little bit.
I can't wait. They're words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, and physical touch.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do you know the five are, do you know what your love language is, or what is your favorite love language?
You know, I took the quiz and I found it to be exceedingly frustrating, because it was like, what's more meaningful to you? And it gave you two options. And on a lot of instances, I couldn't pick one that I actually, and I'm very good at prioritizing and making decisions. And I had a really hard time with it. So I don't know if my assessment was overly accurate. And a lot of my percentages came out very close to each other. So mine said that it was quality time, but I don't think I believe that actually. Like, what do you think, knowing me and being in a relationship with me, that mine is?
Well, I think you get parts of all of them, and I don't want to spoil it yet till we get to the end. Oh. But I have a way of kind of narrowing this down that I kind of came up with, a real simple way, and that maybe would help you out with maybe your decision. And I also have some data on which is the most favorite, and which
I do too, actually.
Okay, well then, well, maybe we got the same information. We'll have to wait on that.
I don't know. We probably have different sources.
So let's break this down. Words of appreciation. What do you?
Words of affirmation.
Words are, well, affirmation or appreciation. So what that words of affirmation? What do you think that is, or what? Where do you think the heart of that is?
That's when people need to hear that they are loved a lot, like. Sometimes I do this to you, and it's because we're long distance and you kind of suck at texting and you suck a little bit at communication. So in the times when we're away, like I haven't heard from you all day and it's like one or something, and I'll be like, I just need to hear I love you. So I'll text it to you knowing that you're going to say it back.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, yeah, I feel like you never say it first, which is moderately frustrating to me, but it's not the end of the world to me either. So it's like, yeah. Oh, I love you. I don't know. Like, I appreciate you. I think you can do this. You're really good at this. It's communication, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's frequent words of encouragement and just constantly telling the person that you appreciate them and that you want to be with them and all that stuff. It's the verbal communication, that kind of thing. And for that kind of person, you definitely, that's the most important thing for them. That's a simplistic way of breaking it down. I think that's right on. How about quality time? What's that all about, do you think?
Well, I mean, the research that I did, since I did not read the book, you want to know that the person wants to spend time with you. They put their phone down. Like, it really bugs me if I go out to dinner with somebody and they're on their phone. That drives me insane. It's like, you can't even take a break from your phone to be here and be present with me. Or like the other day, like I came home from work and you were watching some zombie movie and I was talking to you and I had all this stuff I wanted to talk to you about and you never turned it off. So I felt like you weren't listening and I was kind of pissy about that.
Yeah. Actually. I get it. Yeah. It is kind of amazing. I guess you think about, it's like, I can still remember not having those phones. You know, we didn't always have phones with us all the time. I remember even being younger as a kid, you had to actually call home on a landline to somebody to let them know what you were doing. Your parents wanted you to call them and stuff. For the most part, you had a lot more freedom because nobody ever really knew where you were at. If you weren't at home right there and somebody wanted to get a hold of you, they just couldn't get a hold of you.
Right.
But and now it's like people have those phones on you. It's like, that's all you do. It's like you get so wrapped in it, whether it's Facebook or video games or social media. Games. I mean, it's just like, it sucks you in. It's like almost part of our DNA almost.
You know, but it's like, are you in a relationship with me or your phone?
Well, I think that, yeah, I don't know. Especially guys, I think you get into a situation where you're like,
For a gender that really can't do two things at once, why would you think that you could play that off? Like, oh, I'm listening to you, but I'm also doing this. Like, we know you're not listening.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it depends on how really deep of a person you are. I would consider myself a not deep person. A lot of my time, a lot of my energy is spent trying to stay not in tune with anything. because I just like that emptiness, I guess. And that's, so I think a more deep person that has a lot of intellectual energy and that kind of thing, I think it, yeah, it's probably very frustrating to be with somebody that doesn't 100% present.
I mean, you could at least pretend to care.
Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah. I think that you're absolutely right. And that's one of the things that we're going to get into, I think, further on the podcast here, is how do you make these things work? Part of the key to knowing these things, if you don't know these languages and you're not willing to put some energy into those languages and figuring them out and doing it, then what's the point even? Then you lose the benefit of knowing this stuff. So acts of service, what's your breakdown of that situation?
That one, you know, and that one is important to me too. Like I said, I think they all are, and maybe that's just because I'm very demanding. I don't know, but doing stuff to help out. I really like a tightly run ship. And when you come, I always have lists of things for you that I need or would like for you to do to help me out, because otherwise it's just me and that's a lot. Like taking the garbage out or mowing the lawn when it's summer, or there's a lot of things. Or, you know, you in the morning, you make the bed or you empty the dishwasher. You always do the dishes after I cook. It's that sort of just like helping me out so I'm not so stressed out, which I do get stressed out easily because I have a high standard for everything.
Well, and I am a more of an action speak louder than words kind of person, since I don't like to talk a lot. I don't like to say a lot of things. I'm all about doing it. I mean, I've even said that to you. It's like, well, you'd be like, well, how much do you like me? And it's like, you'll know by the way that I act how much I like you over what I'm going to say.
That's a really tough one, though. And that's a prime example of like the disconnect there. If that's how you express it and I don't understand it and receive it that way, it's actually very difficult for me to understand that concept.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going out of your way to make things easier for the person that you're with. I mean, there are things that really excessive over energy and you bring a lot of things onto your plate. But I mean, I'm sure a few of those things do help out in the grand scheme of things, because I know that when you're a person that really wants to get something done, or you're really focused on a lot of tasks, and you see certain things like particulates on the floor, like stacked up dishes or something like that, it can really keep you from focusing on what you need because you can't get that thing out of your mind. So, I mean, if somebody's willing to knock those things out to keep you focused, and that's a growing process, and you got to learn that stuff. Usually you're not going to know that coming into a relationship. It's something you have to kind of learn about a person that, you know, hey, they're going to be doing all these things, head of the freaking PTO and...
Well, I mean, I feel like, though, I trained you pretty early on when you first...
Yeah, started. I mean, some of those things, yeah, I wouldn't do them. If I didn't know it was an important thing, I wouldn't want to make the bed. I have been making my own bed.
Yeah, but you said that that's how you show... That's your way of showing love. So if you weren't doing stuff, like...
It's the only way of showing love if you pick up on it. I mean, if it's an act of service, if that's not important to you, like if you didn't care, then it wouldn't be actual in my life. It would just be like, I'm doing something. But I mean, actually, I think for that act of service to be important, for it to work, somebody has to be responsive to it.
And in my mind, it's like, if I ask you to do something, regardless of what how it's received or what is going on your end, I feel like you should just do it if you can do it.
Yeah. Are you talking about me in particular or just everybody?
Well,
I mean, I don't want this all to be about me, because I mean,
you know, just, well, I do have quite a bit of high expectations for pretty much everyone in my life.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like, though, when it comes to doing things and asking, it's very straightforward. I think that one is, if you know what you want and you ask for it, it's straightforward. Some of these other things you have to like generate in your own mind, or you have to come up with it on your own. This is very like cut and dry to me.
Well, yes and no. I mean, and I don't think the intention, in the way that's written in the book, is that it can be about chores, but it probably should not be all about chores. And I'll get more into that later on in the podcast. But
well, I wonder.
I mean, some of this, because we didn't touch on, I mean, some of the things I want to get into later. But I mean, for example, like if you had a specific coffee that you liked, or I'm not saying you do, but if you did, if somebody had a specific coffee they liked, and I knew that, and let's say you're running late, so you didn't get to go pick it up. So maybe I would go and get it and bring it to you since I'm off. That would be an act of service. That would be.
Isn't that also gift giving, though?
Yes and no. I mean, that the act of doing it would be an act of service. And I guess the gift would be the coffee. I guess you could put them both together.
So what is it that I always wondered this, because I never actually, maybe I should read the book. But I always wondered, because I always feel like when I cook for people or I bake for people that I do that because I love them. Is that falls under that category?
Right? Yeah. Plus, I mean, you like doing it.
Well, I don't like doing it at the end of the day when I'm exhausted.
Okay, well, I mean, I thought you did. But yeah, I mean, you definitely, I mean, it's like you definitely wouldn't. Like you said, it's like in past relationships, and I don't want to dime anybody out, but if they didn't like a meal that you made, you wouldn't make it again. They didn't appreciate what you were doing for them, then you didn't do it again. And so I think that you learned with me, it's like pretty much everything you put in front of me, I like fall in love with instantly. it's probably more enjoyable for you to do that, and more you feel like you're appreciated more for doing it than, or otherwise you wouldn't do it.
I think actually for me, I cook the same amount for either way. It's just whether or not I talk under my breath about you while I'm doing it.
Yeah. Well, and plus, you know, it's like, I imagine with me helping you do the dishes, it makes it a little bit easier when half the kitchen is in the sink or goes to the sink. When certain these meals, there's like a lot of, because you've mentioned that before, that people complained about how many dishes they had to do and all this kind of stuff for each meal. And it's like, well, if you didn't have that, then it make me a little bit easier to do that stuff.
It does. And you know, that is actually a big thing, because I know sometimes you'll be sitting on the couch and I'll be baking or I'll be doing whatever. I'm like, can you, they're starting to pile up and I'm still in here. I'll be in the kitchen for like a good hour sometimes. And before you, I would be in the kitchen for sometimes 2 hours because I'd have to do all the cleanup, and then I'd be so tired, and then I'd just be like, why can't anyone ever help me out with anything?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, there is a different mindset there. It doesn't change that I would do it or not, just because I have a high expectation for myself. But yeah, there is definitely I do enjoy cooking for you because of how much you've expressed that you actually appreciate it and like it.
Yeah, in fact, I mean, it's ruined me. I don't even like going out anymore, because it's like, well, I didn't really like going out before, but now it's like a really, it sets a high standard. It's like, we just don't get that anywhere, really. I don't think there's hardly very few places we go where you get that kind of enjoyment. It's like, I don't even look forward to it, because like, I mean, I always ask, what do we have for dinner? Because it's like, it's going to be like something to get excited about, because it's usually really phenomenal. So,
well, yeah. See, I appreciate that.
Yeah, see? So, I mean, we've got the next one, which is guess, which you could actually dedicate a whole podcast to this topic. Actually.
Oh, yeah. Really smart people would do that.
Yeah. So, what do you think of that?
That one's pretty straightforward. I mean, it's gift giving. And so does the flower thing that you surprised me with flowers, does that act some service or is that gifts?
I think it's more gifts. I think, it's because it's spontaneous and it's not, I'll get more into this later, but I mean, there is only one reason why I would do it. It's not, there's no reason. It's not like an act of service, because it doesn't make your life easier.
It's true.
It's just something that makes you happy. I do it because I love you. So that's the only reason why I would do it. Well, I mean, there's other reasons. I mean, there's hidden reasons, but the thing
about...
Yeah,
you're thinking about getting attention at the store.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about the gift-giving deal is that the gifts that you're giving have to reflect the values of the person you're giving it to, not your values. So this is where guys get in trouble. So it's like, well, I think that a vacuum would be a good idea for a gift. Well, is that really what they would value? I mean, if you don't ask the questions of the person you're buying a gift for... If you don't know what they like or what's important to them, then you're going to drop the ball on this, because it's not supposed to reflect what you think is a good gift. It's supposed to be reflective of what they would think is a good gift. And so
there's always a big disconnect there. It's always fun to ask my friends about that or on whatever gift giving holiday, because their reaction usually tells me exactly how they feel about it.
Yeah. And then I think that with gifts, it's the process of the gift giving. You know, it's like we talked about in the podcast about what was the thought process, or where did you come up with this idea? Like, the thing that I made, that I forged you, that, I mean, it's like those tidbits about it, or the things that you wrote out for me. It's like, well, I wrote this because of this and this, but it's just like conveying those tough, deep feelings that people, especially people that don't have like an easy way of expressing their feelings and even reaching their deepest feelings. When you can give a gift that does that, I think that's what makes the process of gift giving special.
That makes me think about how excited I am for your wedding vow.
Yeah.
That you're gonna write like 10 minutes beforehand.
Yeah, maybe
that's gonna be one
might
of those
be five
ones.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add on that?
Gifts, I mean, we did cover that in the podcast. There's such a vastness to gift giving.
Yeah, and I think that the key of the gift giving is the symbolism of it. I mean, what is this gift symbolism? It's a physical thing of what our relationship means, or whatever your feelings are, your love feelings is going to be symbolized by this thing. So obviously you don't want an Amazon card to symbolize that, because that's not a very good symbolism. So
we just had this conversation because Valentine's Day is coming and I already bought you something, and don't go poking around the house because it's sitting in there.
Yeah,
but
that's not my thing. I hate ruining surprises.
I was like, maybe you're going to be disappointed. And you said, well, gifts aren't really a thing for me. So, but I was like, well, even if I didn't get you a card for Valentine's Day, you wouldn't be upset about that. And you were not. You said no. And I honestly can't comprehend that that is a real thing. But I don't know. It's not an overly sentimental thing, but I bought it for a reason, so it'll be interesting to see what you think.
Yeah. Well, the last one of the five is physical touch. And go ahead. What do you think about that?
You know, it's funny. When I was researching some of this, so I didn't sound like a complete idiot on this episode, but I was like, well, I wonder which one of these is most popular with men. And I'm like thinking to myself, whichever one is sex, that's probably it. And isn't this one that one?
It is, but, and I thought that too initially, but this is what's cool about getting information in your life and learning about things. When you look at it, physical touch, because this is the physical signs of affection, the kissing, the holding hands, and the cuddling and all that stuff. But the funny thing is that I used to say, oh, yeah, physical touch is definitely my love language. But that was just to get sex, to be honest. No, to be honest, like when I would say that, it was sex. I mean, that was what I was thinking about. But when you look at it, the
intricacies of what else?
Yeah, when you look at the intricacies of it, when it's the holding of hands in public and stuff, one of the things that we do quite often, but I got to admit, it somewhat does annoy me a little bit. Not, it doesn't annoy me, but I find it somewhat is like when we go to the mall or something, we have to hold hands the whole time, which I don't mind doing. But sometimes when you got to weave through stuff and everything, I'm thinking this is just so impractical. At the heart of it.
Exactly.
So at the heart of it, and this is what's really neat about these five love languages, is that you learn that it's more about the other person. If you want these to work, it really has to be more about the other person than about you. And so I think that in that example, I hold hands because I know you like it. But when I really think about it, I'm not such a fan of it, even though I used to consider myself a physical touch person, but I'm not really.
Why don't you like it?
I think it's just a restriction of it. And that I think, and I don't want to blame it on this, but it might almost be broken down to, because I think about it a lot. And
I know where you're going with this.
I almost think it's like a tactical thing for me. Like, I feel like I'm restricted. Like, I'm not.
Like, you can't, like, karate kick someone to the head or something?
I mean, you could, I suppose. But, yeah, I just feel like almost, like, trapped. Like, I'm, like, held back or, like, I'm. Like,
is that a cop thing?
Well, I don't know if it's. I think it's. Might be. It might
I
be.
Wonder if they surveyed cops to see if most cops like to hold hands.
Part of the thing about being a police officer and in other situations, whether you're like, you know, a thug on the street or something, is you really that physical distance, that like 3 foot around you, that you don't let anybody break.
Oh, your personal bubble.
So your personal bubble. I've talked about this in other aspects of my life, that I'm a big energy guy. So when somebody's breaking up that energy pattern of yours, it just feels uncomfortable. And I think that's kind of somewhat what it is. But I don't want to put blame on that. I think it's just, in all honesty, a physical touch might not be my love language as much as I think it is. And when we get down to my test on what I've.
Yeah, but that's if that's the only thing that you don't like about it, because we're always.
No, but I mean, there's a lot more things. Like I love snuggling at night. Like when I'm sleeping, that's my favorite time to snuggle. But I don't always like doing it during the day. Like sometimes when especially I'm in a kind of like a sharp mood. It doesn't make me feel better when somebody's touching me. It kind of irritates me. But those are all situational. It's not something you can put a grand thing on. I think that.
But yeah, but you're always at the end of the day, you're like, oh, I scratched my back for like 2 hours.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty physical thing.
And that's an act of service, too.
Oh, I see. Yeah, it's an act of service.
But I mean, the value of the, I think the physical touch is that warmth and connection, a physical touch. I mean, it's just, it's that you feel secure. You feel like. It makes you feel safe, I think, maybe is why it's important to people like that. For all these, a lot of it has to do with how you were raised, I think, basically. You know, if you have a lot of physical...
Well, yeah, you could say that about anything. Everything's based in your childhood.
Yeah, and our scars and stuff that we have from childhood that we bring and everything. But as a kid, my family was really physically...
they would show love physically.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of hugging. My dad made my brother and I hug him before we left the house every day. Every time we left until we were way into adulthood before he died. And so I think that, you know, there is some of that, but my dad was way more physical than even I am with my kid. And I was really physical. When she was little, I was constantly carrying her, wanting to hold her all the time, really big. And then I think that when she got in her teenage years and started to be kind of a turd, then I kind of lost some of that. But so after discussing these just briefly on what they are, let's get into what are some things you could do for a person that has these love languages. So let's start with words of appreciating. What are some things that, so let's say I'm that person that is dating you and your love language is words of appreciation. What are some things that I could do for you to make you feel like I was into this for you?
That makes well, sense. I took the quiz and that's actually my very last one. So okay.
Can you take a guess on what it might be? You mentioned a few of them already, like texting.
I do appreciate the texts. Yeah, I think you can overdo it, especially for someone if that's not their primary thing. But you can underdo it if it's not someone's even on their radar. Like I said, there is a minimum amount of communication and a minimum amount of doing things that is just like, I would think, standardized. Some people do need, I know my friend that's doing a lot of active dating. Sometimes she'll be with these guys and they need a lot of this. And it's like, how do you even, like, if that's not your thing, that could be just like, oh, this is so irritating. So yeah, I mean, for me, if you would, which I know this is not going to happen, and you know this about me because I haven't bugged you about it. If you would text me in the middle of the day and say, hey, just thinking about you. I mean, that actually does mean a lot to me. And you do occasionally, I'd say once every other week or something, I'll get some sort of really sweet text from you. And I do really kind of cherish those because they're very infrequent. Mm-hmm. I think one time a couple of weeks ago, I texted you about something and you texted back. You were at work, which I know you don't think about me at work. And you're like, I was thinking about you all morning. And I was like, oh, well, that's not normal for you. And that actually was kind of a big deal. But I do, like I said, if I want to hear I love you, I have to say it first. So, I mean, that's all I need. I do like for you to appreciate that I'm an intelligent person. I have said this before. So I do like to hear that, or you know, even if I do the cooking or whatever, and you always say thank you for dinner, that's important for me to hear that because it is a lot of work.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that it'd be really easy for somebody to look at this kind of person and be like, oh, they're really needy, you know, or they're real clingy or something like that. But I think the good thing about words of appreciation, I think that people that need this are going to probably be really quick to let you know that you're not giving it to them. So I think that right away you're going to, if somebody's texting you over and over and over, it's because you're not responding enough for them. You know, some people need that. They need to know that you're there, you know? And so I think that one of the things you could do, like I said, the unexpected texting is great. And I think that you got to generally encourage them so they feel like they can put more energy into the relationship. I think that if you don't give the person that needs the words of appreciation enough, they're going to leave you real quick because they're going to need that constant, you know, telling them that they're, you know, beautiful, or telling them that you're thinking about them, or you have these feelings for them, and you got to start saying that stuff a lot. I think that's going to be huge for those person.
I think that's a really tough one for a lot of people because it is very demanding.
Yeah. And it is demanding. And I think that if you pick up on this, is a good example for somebody that's in a dating relationship. When you start somebody early, this is something I think you'd pick up really quickly. And you could look at yourself and be honest with yourself and say, listen, am I going to be able to maintain this for the next 40, 50 years of my life? Because those kind of things should be a red flag right away.
Hey, you remember when I said that to you early on in our relationship? And I was like, I'm going to need more from you, especially in the times when you're away. And you,
well, yeah. And you were like, when we're still just barely talking, you were like, oh yeah, these guys couldn't keep up with me or whatever. I don't remember how you put it.
Yeah, I don't like to have to pull a wagon with square wheels. If you can't keep up with me, or at least keep like a couple steps behind me in just general, I get very irritated. And it's not that I necessarily needed a lot of blah, 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 like words of affirmation. I needed
words of affirmation.
I just needed, like, one, we were trying to get to know each other, and I don't like slow moving anything. So, which is why I called you the first night, because I'm like, I can't deal with this slow text stuff. It's stupid. So,
yeah. And that was really weird for me because I don't, one of the things with online dating and social media, I think that we've all probably gotten very used to is that you don't have to talk to people. I mean, you can just text or you can send messages, and it seems like there's some,
it's very detached.
It's detached, but it's also, I think you don't have to, you're not as vulnerable. You don't have to feel like you, I mean, I think you, don't you think there's like some kind of,
I don't
like,
know. I honestly hate it because I hate anything that's inefficient. So if I want to waste my time that I find to be very valuable on somebody, like someone in any circumstance, I want to find out whether it's worth it or not right away. So of course I'm going to be like, let's just get on a phone call. And if we don't feel this, then I'm moving on. I don't like to have to like find out things later. I'm going to make my decision right now and move on.
Yeah. So what are some things as a physical touch person? So let's say, if I'm not a physical person, or if I'm not really into that, what are some things that I could do that would help you as a person that was a physical touch person?
Now that I know that you don't like to hold hands in public, I might have to, it's going to make me think twice now. It's going to be weird now.
Well, I shouldn't have mentioned it then, but I mean, I don't mind doing it. Like I said, I mean, it's just, it doesn't come naturally to me. I think in my profile I did mention that I did like doing that.
Holding hands? No, you didn't.
Oh, I don't remember.
But I could pull it up for you.
I thought you did something like that.
But no, you said you were like a grandmaster snuggle thing.
Oh, that is true. I do like to snuggle. I know. Especially when I'm tired and sleepy, I like to really snuggle. So.
Yeah, well, that's because snuggling leads to other things too. But I think that public displays of affection for me, I do like. And I was with someone that never wanted to do it, and it used to really bug me. So I think if you are into that, and I've heard of other people that have had this conflict too, and it's such a simple thing.
On a side note, what do you think it is about that that creeps people out? Because some people are super creeped out by that.
Creeped out by seeing it or creeped out by doing it?
Both. I think that there's people that hate doing it, and I think there's people that really hate watching
it. I honestly don't know why you wouldn't want, and I hope this isn't the case for the people that don't want to do it. It's like, I don't want that people to think that I'm with that person, because that would be unfortunate, because why would you be with that person anyway in public?
Yeah.
And so I certainly wouldn't hope that that would ever be the case for anybody, because that's just kind of terrible. But I honestly don't know. It's not like you're making out in public. You're just holding hands, and it's so mainstream. I don't understand why people don't want
it. Well, I think if you don't feel that, I think it could probably come off really clingy and like demanding.
Possessive, maybe.
Yeah, and insecure.
I think some people maybe do like it, because it is, some people that are insecure probably do it for that reason. It's like, well, I want to claim this person in public.
Yeah.
And that's not why I do it. I don't know. I just do it. I don't even know I'm doing it, frankly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and some people, I mean, they could be like, well, it's showy and it's whatever. And
well, maybe it's a lot of the times because I'm wearing high heels in the snow or something, and yeah. I used to not fall down.
I think the people that, you know, we've talked a little bit about the Disney fairy princess kind of stuff and that kind of thing. And I think that part of that image and that thing you put in your mind of being in love with somebody is that, oh, we can't keep our hands off and we always want to touch each other and stuff. And depending on where you are with the way you feel about things, it could be very like, oh, well, this is just showy or whatever. And I think that that might be a reason as well. I don't know.
You know. Well, how many older couples do you see out and about doing it? I always think it's very sweet when you do see it, because I don't think it lasts, frankly.
They say that the happiest you are in your life is when you're young and when you're real old. And so I think that you're going to see those things. I think people that are in love and you are into each other, you do that thing. And I found myself in that point where it's just like the world kind of disappears and it's just the two of you. And I think that's the magic of being in a good relationship with somebody you're in love with. I think you do have that. Not maybe not all the time, but there's going to be periods of time when you do have it, or you probably wouldn't stay with that person. So I think it is the kind of neat thing about it. But I guess if you're not in a happy relationship, or if you're not really into each other, which a lot of people do grow out of that, you know, we always think about, oh, it's the infatuation of being in a new relationship and then you lose that. Well, some people probably don't lose that. And there's probably at points in time where you hope you don't lose it.
I think that physical touch too, do you think that has a lot to do with it? Do you think it fades for a lot of people because they lose the attraction for the other person?
Yeah, probably. I think that's based on a lot of that. And we'll get into a little bit of that too. I think we're going to come up into some of the hangups things here too. But okay. Yeah. So, and then we bring us to the next one, receiving gifts or giving gifts. And we've talked a lot about this already, but what are some of the things we can kind of reiterate, or maybe somebody didn't catch the other podcast, what we could do as far as making this work? So again, and use a scenario that, you know, this isn't my love language, but it is your love language. So what could I do to make that
work? I told you all the love languages are my love languages, but I think I'm just not a simple person. So why would you ever assume that?
Okay.
But the gift giving thing is, it just needs to be a show of time, effort, and thoughtfulness, not necessarily cost. And yeah, I mean, it just honestly has to be meaningful. It could be just a card with heartfelt words that you maybe sat down and thought about for 10 minutes and then wrote something really nice. It really doesn't need to be more than that, frankly.
Yeah.
For someone, although I don't know if this borderlines on like gold digger-ish or whatever, if this is even part of it, but obviously those people like really expensive gifts. I don't know if that's even a love thing at that point. It's just a hoarding of expensive items kind of a thing, or a showy thing. But
well, and I think that it kind of goes around the process of the gift giving. So, I mean, if it's like, if part of the thing is you have like this buildup in your mind, oh, I'm going to get this cool, expensive thing, and then you have it. And I've talked about this before, you know, the big moment where you get to display that to everybody. And that's where you get the high off that. So like, let's say,
oh, showing it to people.
Yeah. So like, I mean, putting it on Facebook, or, you know, the engagement photo with the big ring or something like that. I mean, that's the high for somebody. They get that little bit of enjoyment out of that. And it's part of that process. And maybe that's part of it.
When this book was written, I don't think that they could have necessarily touched on how that's evolved, because it has changed gift giving in general. Social media has. And yeah, I know I see it all the time. I mean, I'm the one with the social accounts. So I see people getting engaged, people getting gifts, people going on vacations, lots of things all the time. And mm-hmm. It's very about that. And Like, for example, so engagement rings, which is the big deal, the ultimate gift, right? So when I got married, it was kind of about the ring at that point. I was 21. I was in my early 20s when I got engaged, but I wanted the big ring. Every woman dreams of that when they're a little kid. That's like a thing. And
yep, the ring pop size diamond.
I mean, you know, and it's not that I didn't get it. It's just it doesn't necessarily equate to the fact that it's going to last forever. And when the focus of a gift becomes the wrong thing, like, oh, the size of this or whatever. I mean, I had a friend in college who was planning to marry this guy, and I think they eventually did get married. We lost touch, but she made him save for years to buy her this enormous emerald cut flawless diamond with extra diamonds on it, and it was gorgeous. But she was all about the size of that diamond. She's like, I know I'm never going to want to fight the battle of an upgrade. I want what I'm going to always have right now. But she was that kind of person. And when it came to the engagement, it was like, I want a full day of pampering before the engagement, before you ask me. It was like a really big showy thing. And for us this time around, I think I've come around to other things. And I did tell you I didn't want it to cost a lot because it doesn't mean that to me this time. It wasn't about the cost. It wasn't about a lot of things. I wanted something that, one, was different, because you're very different, I think, that would show that. And then I just wanted the commitment. So I think gifts are a very difficult thing to navigate. One, if you don't know yourself enough to ask exactly what you want.
Yeah.
Or two, the other person has to be a very, very observant, good listener to be good at it.
Yeah. I do remember when I just talking about this, this trip, something in my mind that I totally forgot about, but I was dating a girl right out of high school into junior college. And she used to express all the time that she would never get married to anybody unless the ring had to be at least 1 carat diamond. You know, back then I was making like $4 or $5 an hour. I was thinking, yeah, that's not going to happen. I guess we're never going to get married because I'm never going to be able to. I just, that was money that I couldn't even imagine ever existing, you know, as an 18, 19 year old kid. It was inconceivable to me.
You know, when I was in college and I was majoring in interior design, that's pretty much a woman's profession. So I heard
kind of being sexist now.
It was then.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Well. There was one guy in there and he was married to a woman, but there were a lot of conversations I overheard about rings and whatever, and the size of the ring. Well, it doesn't matter the grade of the diamond as long as the diamond is huge, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I did have a professor tell us the best career advice would be to marry well,
yeah,
but which is just
depressing. Yeah, that's good advice to anybody, I suppose.
I'm not sure I've ever taken that advice, but I think that getting caught up in the wrong part of a gift just totally screws it up in any way.
Yeah. And a lot of that, I mean, to be honest, I think a lot of that, when you're younger like that, you just don't have the life experience to know what's important, what's going to be important in life. You know, I think you get hooked up in what you see. You know, I find that, like, you bring up the social media thing. It's just like, when does it become enough? When are you ever going to get that? I think you get so used to having this immediate gratification and this recognition that you need all the time that it's never going to be enough. I think you're going to find that you're not going to be very easily satisfied with anything.
Well, I think some people it's like taking drugs or something.
Yeah.
You know, you get a little high. Some people can control it. Some people can't. Or alcohol. Yeah. That's maybe a better thing because that's more mainstreamly widely acceptable. So let's say you just, oh, well, I drink occasionally here and there and I'm in control of my life when it comes to that. Some people are complete addicts and they can't put it down and they end up social media drunk essentially with the amount of interaction and attention or whatever. So I think it's always terrible. But yeah, I think the gift giving has definitely taken that to a different level. And yeah, people do. I see it all the time. I see it all the time.
Well, I just one of the things that I found when I was doing a research a little bit too, is that they said that if you're just in a relationship with somebody that is big into the gift giving process, is that you really have to pay attention that you express gratitude when they give you something, because for them, it's a huge deal and they're projecting onto you. But since you know that it's their love language, you need to be expressive of what it means to you when they give you something so they can get that out of there.
I have to ask this because you're more of an expert apparently than I am. Is your love language that you like to receive things to show someone to show you love? Is that always the same going out? Because I feel like mine are not the same coming in and going out.
No, and I like I said, I think that one of the things I want to talk about here in a little bit is some of these hangups and the criticisms people have of these five languages. Because I do find that they are kind of simplistic enough to understand, but there are some some things that come in that
are... Well, for people that are not simple people, I don't think that you can pigeonhole them that easily.
I don't want to, we'll get into a second. Okay. I don't want to jump the gun here because I want to think that I'm coming up with something pretty ingenious here.
Okay, well, I guess we'll find
out. So the next one we have is quality time, which you said was you think your love language. So what are some things that could be expressed to fulfill this love language?
Well, see, and this is...
Just some examples of what... Just examples. I mean, just some quick ones.
Okay. So like sometimes on the days that you're here, because we don't live in the same area, I know that going to the gym is important to you, but you also disappear for like 3 hours in the day. And if, depending on which days of the week you're here and what days I'm home and which days I'm working, I know sometimes on the last day you will not go to the gym to spend extra time with me. And that actually is kind of a big deal because I know how important going to the gym is for you. But for me, it's like I feel like I should be more important spending the time with me since we don't see each other all the time.
It's important.
As far as other quality time, I don't know. I know people that have been married a long time, and I understand the argument against going out to dinner when you've been together for a long time and if you have kids and whatever. But I do like to go out and have those dates. And I know you just said it, that you don't like going out because of the food, and that always makes me feel a little bit guilty for it. But I really do enjoy those. So I find that to be quality time, especially if you don't play video games on your phone or anything during it. Oftentimes you actually leave it in your phone in the car.
Well, that's because it's not charged up.
Oh, I thought it was.
No, I'm joking. I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
When you do that, to me, it says, I'm committed to focusing on you for this time that we're out. And that actually does mean quite a bit.
Yeah, that's the maturity of it, ladies. That's what you're going to get with an older guy. They're going to put their phone away.
It's really hard for most people not to have their phones. They feel naked.
Yeah.
So I think that, and I'm not sure if this counts per se, but the fact that you do drive up here all the time, and that is the only way our relationship is going to work. But that's the whole premise of even having quality time, is being able to even be together in the same city.
Yeah. A few things that I was pointing out there was weekend getaways are huge. And I guess that's what you'd say is, you know, these are weekend getaways. And I think that's what I found out about myself anyways, is that I would be like, well, I'm not going to get to do a lot of the things that I normally do. Like I haven't forged for a while, or I haven't get to work on my truck or something like that, or I don't get to go ride my motorcycle. But I mean, it's those things that you're willing to give up to get that quality time, I guess, is kind of what happens. And so, yeah, it is important, I think, in a relationship, creating those special moments or whatever together
but maybe the people that don't go out and do date nights, maybe quality time isn't important to either of them.
Maybe it's just they're simpler in what their quality time is. I mean, people get in a groove and stuff, and they may just take things for granted, you know. I mean,
well, that does happen. But I think too, even I'm like so naive about this. I thought actually Netflix and Chill was actually watching Netflix and chilling out on the couch. So in theory, I would think that sitting and binge watching TV at home is also cool. I do enjoy that, even though.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that might just be getting drowned out with this COVID lockdown stuff is people are just spending way too much time together. When does quality time become quality time? When you're spending like 24/7 together. And luckily, both of us are essential workers, so we're both out working. So we're not even. It's not like a thing for us. But I mean, I know there's people that I see it every day at work. It's like I go on calls where people are just. Human beings are not meant to spend 24/7 together. I mean, they got to have some separated time. And so I think that quality time is that special time. It's not just time to be spent together.
Quality time is also being present, though. That's the key.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you can be sitting next to somebody and not be spending quality time with them.
That's true.
I remember sitting in the same room every night with my ex, and I'd sit on one end of the couch. He'd sit in a chair, like in a recliner, past the far end of the other side of the couch, both on our devices, watching some show we'd negotiated on.
You should have had a dog you could have put in the middle of you.
There wasn't a dog big enough. And I think that we were there physically, but there just wasn't the quality time. And I think that that's really the key to that.
And that might be the key to some of these are the keys to repairing some of those damaged relationships, maybe possibly things that have been lost. Let's move on to acts of service real quick. What are some things that people could do to activate that love language?
And I don't know if it's just me because I'm psycho, But like today, so, okay, and I did say this, I make the lists for you, and usually you try to get most of that stuff done before you leave, because I'm busy. I have to take the kids to school and whatever, and this morning when I realized you hadn't done what was specifically written out on the thing, and then I had to add it to my to-do list, I was frankly irritated with
it. I will concede to that, but what did I do immediately when you came home last night that would have maybe prevented me from doing that?
Oh, boy. I can't remember.
What was I engrossed in last night? Right before dinner, all the way at the top.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You were preparing for the podcast.
Yeah. One of the things on my list, on my honey-do list, was to get the podcast set up. So
that's okay. In my mind, I was gone for at least 8 hours. So the small things I had on my list, minus the 3 hours that you go to the gym, I thought running the two bins out to the end of the driveway wasn't that big of a deal. And it had.
Oh, you forgot the security I was putting out yesterday, the yard security.
What?
I told you all the yard security I performed yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Protecting the bird feeder.
Yeah, but I don't ask you to do this. Is things, like I said, to me, this helps.
No, I get it. I get it. You're right. And like I said, I did take the trash out, but I just, for some reason, slipped out of the.
There is a reason that I write these lists and I write them in a detailed
fashion. But I've gotten somewhat lazy too about you putting out the. Sometimes you'll just set that stuff right by the door, so it's like you have to trip over it. I mean, sometimes that's what it takes to get me to.
I don't want
to
have to do that.
I know, but I mean, it's just, okay, you're right.
I just wanted you to say you were sorry, and you haven't said it yet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, nice. You're like the kid that's like, I'm going to sit here and wait until this sorry actually sounds right.
But. Okay.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, the access service thing, for me, I try to be very clear about it. When I have high expectations, and like usually, I come home and you've done all the dishes and emptied the dishwasher, so when I come home and have to make dinner at the end of the day and potentially do homework with the kids now, I can start from scratch with a clean slate with dishes and whatever. And so last night, the dishwasher wasn't emptied. There were dishes in the rack, and I had to be doing dishes and emptying the dishwasher while making dinner for an hour, and I was cranky about that. Okay. I didn't say anything, but sometimes when you set a high precedent for yourself and you start doing things because I don't know why you start doing them, but then you stop doing them for some reason, the other person's like, well, what the heck now? And then they take it like, well, you don't love me as much now because you stopped doing these and now I have to do it and I'm crabby at you. And it just gets all sorts of screwed up.
Well, okay. I get all that. But let's go to the real problem.
Oh, and that's what?
What were you really frustrated when you came home from work yesterday about?
A coworker.
Exactly. So maybe, not saying that you weren't right in saying that I did skip these things, but from a guy's point of view, and what I would see as being the circum deal of the whole thing is that you were irritated with that situation and it projected more emphasis to maybe something that wouldn't have been such a big deal, made it a bigger deal because of that you were upset over that. That's all I'm saying. And I'm not saying that that is 100% true, but I'm guessing that it is true.
That's part of the reason. But like I said, usually I have come to expect a certain standard.
Yeah, well, of course. And I have a higher standard of myself too, but I did work out a lot harder yesterday, and that was the benefit of you, not me.
That doesn't help me out at the end of the day when I'm exhausted.
Oh, it helps you out at the end of the day. I'm just saying.
Okay, well, I'm just saying.
No, I get what you're saying, and like that was the point. I mean, what a woman is saying, or what anybody is saying, if they say, hey, it would be nice for you to help out more around here, what they're really saying is that one of my love languages is acts of service, and you're not fulfilling it right now. So some of the things you could do, or make sure that you do get all your chores done. Or, you know, you may be a person that has to look outside of those rings, you know, like perhaps breakfast in bed. But basically, it's all about alleviating daily workload.
And it is. And that actually, when I took the quiz, was my second one.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that caused a lot of problems in my marriage. And I don't think that was understood because I would get so frustrated and I would get so mad. Like, you don't care enough about me to help me out. And I'm so tired all the time. And I do all these things and run everything really well, but I'm so tired.
Yeah. And I mean, if people want to know why is this person cheating on me? It's because whatever love language they have is not being recognized. And if she's saying, hey, I need help around here, and you're not picking up on that, then she's going to find somebody that will pick up on that, or he or whatever, whoever it is.
There's always somebody that's going to do something.
And that's when the grass does look greener, you know? I mean, those are the things that create this. So looking at these love languages, you can outline pretty much everything in here where it somehow there's some miscommunication and the language is not being received. And
are you going to tell me what yours actually is?
Well, I'm still going out of this. So I know we've broken this down, and this is kind of my teaching style, I guess. And I'm not trying to teach people out there, but we're just trying to talk about stuff. So after all we talked about, what do you think? How do people screw this up? We've mentioned a few things about it, but like, how about words of information? Why
words of affirmation?
Affirmation. I don't know why I can't see that, but why is this not being met by these people? Do you think? What do you think is the problem there?
With any of this in general?
No, with the words of affirmation. If people have this love language, what is happening in relationships where one or the other person is not meeting that words of affirmation? What are some things that you think could go wrong?
Well, I just think that people...
Because I have the answers that I wrote down here. So I just want to know what you feel about it.
Oh, wow.
I'm asking you your opinion on it.
I feel like could be very demanding, very time consuming. Like all day, not just like a slow drip or something. It's really like, I need this.
So you think people are drained on it? I think that, and I'll just say this to kind of move us along, but I think that the real thing I think is important to the words of affirmation is that whatever you say and how you say it is going to be the game changer here. So if you're a person that is negative a lot, like I have a tendency to be somewhat negative sometimes, but if you are constantly negative, you're going to be, it's like, well, you don't love me because you wouldn't say those things. You wouldn't be negative. If you loved me, you would be happy and you wouldn't be saying negative things. And so that positivity, I think, needs to be there with somebody with words of affirmation. And the same thing with criticism. If you give criticism, it's got to be very constructive and it's got to be very supportive. And those things, I think, is what's really the deep part of words of affirmation, that if you don't get it, if it's not important to you, I don't think you realize. Because I've had people that I've been with that said, you know what, your negativity really took the love out of me. Because if that's important to them, if their words of love and happiness and all that stuff is their love language, and you're the dark shadow, then they're...
Well, what did you say that would have implied that sort of to them?
Just being negative, I think. It doesn't have to be to them. It's just that negative word context. Words matter. People that have their love language is words. I think that's where a lot of people screw up, is that they just don't get that and they don't pick up on it. And so I think that people quickly fall out of love with somebody. If you know somebody, their love language is being told that they're loved and that they're appreciated, then you're going to have to be positive in that. You're going to have to be very positive in your words and the words you choose, because those are what they're looking for. They're feeding off that. Their energy comes from that. Their love energy comes from those positive words of affirmation.
Do you think that you have had to learn a different way of speaking to me in that regard during our relationship?
No, I don't think it's been an issue to you, but now that I'm talking to you, it doesn't seem like it's as much as important to you. I mean, you let it slide a little bit, as long as you get some of those things.
Let it slide now more than I did.
Yeah.
I was looking at the beginning for a certain level of reassurance. And once I got that, then I realized, okay, now it doesn't matter as much to me as some of the other mm-hmm. things. I still, like I said, need it here and there. But for the most part, I do understand. When you told me specifically, you're like, well, this is how I show that I love people. And it's by doing things for other people. So at that point, it was like, okay, we've put in the time and the effort. So I know that you're here for the right reason. So now I don't need that as much. Still need it, but not as much.
Well, and I will tell you where that'll play in later. I'll tell you, you're going to have a huge surprise at the end of this. You're going to be like, whoa, this is crazy.
I think it's funny that you think that you're going to pull one over on me.
Oh, I am going to. Okay, so quality time. What do you think your people fail on this at?
Oh, that one's so easy. Being not present there in the moment. Huge. That is like the key to it. And I will get so irritated about little stuff like that. Like if you're not paying attention, I'll be talking to you and you look like you're spaced out or something. Or you're like, on the phone, you can fake it a little bit better. Like I know you're busy. And when you work and you call me and I have your undivided attention when you're driving, but then you get home and then I feel like the level of attention is gone. So if I want to get you, I have to get that stuff in that 30 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever it takes you to drive home. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they're two different things.
Yeah. I think it's important, too, that like you talked about going out to eat, making a place that's special. So that for you is a special place and a special time to spend time together. And so if you're in a relationship where you don't ever do that, if your Friday and Saturday night is always Netflix or it's always the same date all the time, then it's not going to fulfill that love thing, I think. I think if you don't go on those walks in the woods, or if you don't go,
I'm not running in the woods with you ever again.
Yeah, that's just pure danger. But
yeah, well, I mean, we do spend a lot of time outside usually in the summer, but you know, and the dinner thing for me is when I plan those and I make reservations. Well, I mean, no, wait a minute. Yeah. I expect that you are going to have some conversation with me. And sometimes we go there and you kind of are quiet. And I'm like, why aren't you talking to me? This is our time to like talk.
Yeah. Well, and I think that when you want to go out and sit on the porch on the swing and stuff, I mean, those are like a place that you like to be in, like a special place or whatever. And having those places or whatever to go once in a while, I think is important for quality time. The benefit, if you can set it up, and this is a benefit of 50-50 placement or whatever, but you have that time where you don't have kids around or whatever, and you can find the time to spend to just the two of you or whatever. And I think that that'll be easier as you get older and you start to lose some of your responsibilities as far as work and stuff. Once you retire, I think that you can get more of that quality time. And that's why you probably see older people holding hands and stuff and they're doing things like that. But
the great thing about it is that you have to make, even no matter how busy you are, you will always make time for the things that are important to you. And if you're really busy, it just shows somebody even more how much you love them if you carve out that time for them.
Well, let's touch on this next one here, acts of service. What do you think some of the pitfalls in that are, besides not doing it or not finishing your list that you're supposed to do?
Not even, you know what really gets me is when someone is clearly busy and the other person never says, is there something that I can do to help you?
Yeah.
I think when people need that help and someone doesn't recognize it and ask or something, to the other person will come off like, you don't love me enough to even want to ease my workload, my burden at all. And that's very frustrating to people.
Yeah. And I would say that I think one of the pitfalls about this one is that you can't make it just about the chores. I feel like maybe I didn't harp on this enough, but it does have to be other things outside of doing chores, because obviously when you're in a working relationship or if you're going to be in a healthy relationship, is that there should be some expectation that you are doing part of the work, and that shouldn't be really the love language. The intention anyways, from what I get out of this, is that it's more about making it easier on the other person. So if the other person is used to doing all the chores, then yeah, any amount that you would do would make it, but it shouldn't actually be that. It shouldn't be the flat line for that. I think the healthy relationship is, it's just expected that I mow the grass. That isn't really an act of service for you, because it's like, that's my chore here. So that's really something that would be kind of different.
Okay, so the flowers, yeah, that's the outside of the norm.
Well, those are gifts. Those are gifts, so that's not an act of service.
I thought you said those were acts of service earlier, because it's not really a functional. I don't know. Regardless, then tell me an example of something that you do that's an act of service that isn't a chore.
One thing would probably be when I went into your work and had that men's group.
Oh, I thought I just guilted you into that.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't really want to do it, but it was all right. It wasn't bad. I mean, it wasn't horrible. It was actually kind of rewarding, but it's something like that, or, you know,
this podcast,
picking up your bags of salt for you, you know, so you have salt that you can put on the thing, setting up things where it's easier for you while I'm gone, like buying you rat spray. I'm just joking. I had to bring that up.
So the organizing of the garage, is that an act of service, or is that you preparing to move here?
Well, a little bit both. Well, I mean, obviously it's nice. I know how you like to have things organized and set up. And so I thought that would be nice. You know, you got the things in a specific spot. I do like garage. I mean, that's, to me, it's kind of fun too, setting that up. But I mean, it's like,
I find it hard to differentiate acts of service from chores, frankly.
Yeah, I'm just saying you can't make it just about the chores. So like the example I gave about bringing you coffee to work or something, bringing you coffee to work or breakfast in bed, or.
These things have not happened.
They haven't happened. Well, I'm just saying. Not all the acts of service have been getting done around here. I'm just saying those
one, are. Because I hate coffee.
This isn't just for us. I'm saying for other people, examples.
Well, you know what, though? A prime example of that, my sister was dating this guy. I don't even remember which one. But every time he would do that, like bring her coffee and some other, it was a very little thing, but she always made such a big deal about it.
Yeah. Well, and things that you've done for me, like dropping my coat off to the dry cleaners or getting something sewn up for me or something, those kind of things would be acts of service that aren't necessarily a chore, but there's something that.
I feel like I do a lot of these for you, actually.
Yeah, you do. And that's
replacing your soap in the soap dish.
And maybe those are maybe one of my strongest love languages, that I like people to do things for me. And a lot of guys do, I think. A lot of guys like that.
To be mothered.
To be mothered a little bit. I think that's part of the, what's that guy's name?
Oedipus.
Yeah. What's the doctor's name, though?
Freud.
Yeah, Dr. Freud kind of stuff. Maybe that would be another podcast. Okay, so gifts. There's a big one here that I am thinking of, but what do you think people screw up about gifts? Or how could you be miscommunicating the love language of gift giving?
I don't know if I'm getting these or not, your questions, but I think that.
Well, my questions suck, but I'm just saying. Okay. You're supposed to know just by what I'm thinking.
I don't know.
No, but I mean, so like.
Beyond what we already talked about? With sucking with gifts?
Well, yeah, and I I think there's one thing that stands out, and maybe I'll just give it to you, but what I'm thinking is that if you're always tying gifts to the holidays and the birthdays and stuff, I think that what's more important is these small little things that you can do.
I just brought this up in a meeting yesterday.
There you go. Let's talk about it.
So we were having a retention meeting and recognition meeting for staff. And they were talking about, when do we celebrate the staff with food or whatever? Do we do it at specific dates for holidays or whatever? Even the weird fringe ones. And I said, well, let's think of this as a relationship. Clearly, my personal life spilling into my work life. I was like, what kind of ROI do you think you get from employees who expect something on a certain holiday versus when you get some sort of recognition out of the blue? Don't mm-hmm. you get more return on your investment emotionally, essentially, and satisfactorily in a business environment or even a relationship when it's like, wow, that really caught me off guard versus I'm expecting this, and then you have a certain level of expectation that needs to be met. I think that actually is true. So the stuff for me, and I would assume for most people, that is out of the blue is way more meaningful.
And that's where the flowers would fall into. So like getting flowers, the gift giving portion of it is it's a tangible symbol of the love in a relationship. So anything that you can bring and give that is a tangible symbol of the love is what these gift giving people with love language want. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And like I have said this before, and I said it in the other podcast, how you vary the, and I don't know what your thought process is necessarily always when you pick out certain bouquets of flowers, if there is a different, I don't know, these just look fresher or if there's another reason, but like the last ones were more colorful. And I like that because it's winter here and we need color.
Yeah.
Sometimes I like certain things for certain reasons or whatever. There's sparkle in this one. This one's white for this reason. I like this or I like that. I do like it if there is some sort of extra element to that too.
Yeah. Well, how about touch? I'm thinking there's one big thing that people are going to complain about this, especially women. And I've heard women complain sex. Yeah. Exactly. The only time people give affection is when they want to lead the sex. And that's, if you got somebody that is, their love language is touch, and this is where I kind of used to think that I was all about that, but it's like, can you kiss and hold hands and snuggle and do these things without?
Probably depends on your age.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a guy and you're in your 20s and you're getting touched or you're touching, you're probably going to automatically have a response you can't control.
You're standing next to me. You're standing next to me.
I mean, a woman comes up to you and like,
yeah,
you know, whatever. It's
that's
just,
true.
You can't control it.
Yeah, it's true. And I think that there's a lot of criticisms over this. I think this whole thing is very easy to kind of break these down. That's why I did it this way and kind of went over them the way that I did. But I can see a real benefit in it, but there are some things that I could see go wrong. Is there anything that stands out in your mind that if you based your opinion on doing these things and focused all your energy into these love languages where you could go wrong?
Yeah, well, not everyone fits into some equation.
That's the hugest thing.
I'm certainly not that kind of person. I hate it when people assume things about me. And sometimes you'll say things like, well, women this and women that. And I'm like, not all women are exactly the same.
Yeah.
I just don't like that assumption because I feel like.
I think that's the biggest, when I was researching, that's the biggest criticism actually was, is that people tend to use these love languages as kind of a personality traits list. Whereas it's like, oh, this love language is this kind of person. And it's really not designed to do that.
I have a friend that refers to herself that way.
Does she?
Yeah, when we're talking about relationships. Well, I'm a this kind of person. And then she names one. And I'm like, what? That's so weird. That's like, she's speaking another language. I would never refer to myself like
that. And I think that the other thing, that big criticism about it, is that it makes you kind of like stuck into these and dependent on these.
And you don't think outside that box then.
Yeah, you don't. Exactly. I think relationships are meant to like transform and change. And I think if you stick in that, it's going to make you lazy or complacent, or it's just going to cause dependency into what you're doing. And you're not going to try to get better at anything else. So you're not going to dip into these other things or try to just grow in your relationship. And so I think that's why a lot of people don't like this system. The other criticism I read was that it leaves out a lot of factors. It leaves out sexuality differences, any traumas in history that you might have. I mean, we talked a little bit about that, but
there's exceptions to every single rule.
Sure.
All the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So Cindy, in kind of wrapping this up towards the end here, what do you think the number one love language is for most people?
I actually researched this too, and I got two different answers.
What answers did you get?
I think the one that I liked, the one that I picked, Huffington Post said that it's words of affirmation, actually. Wait, let me think. Yeah. Yep.
Well, in 2018, the Hinge app, I've never been on it. I hear it's popular.
Oh, one of them said it was quality time for both genders.
Yeah. Well, in 2018, Hinge used their app and found out overall most of their users picked quality time as the most favorite love language. And so, are you ready for my Andrew's?
This better be mind blowing.
Andrew's love language test.
Okay.
So, in my thinking, this is how I made it simplified. Picture our future for the rest of our time together.
Oh, I've already done that like a bunch of times.
Okay, I know you have. So, from starting today, if I never gave you another gift, would you still love me?
Ooh, this is tough.
Let's say I lost
my
job.
Cards also? Yeah, but you could make a card.
Okay, well, let's say if I chose not to. What if I chose to never give you another gift? Would you leave me?
Would I leave you?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. If something happened to me where I was handicapped or hurt or something like that, and I couldn't touch you ever again, would you leave me?
Oh, you have to buy me some really good toys. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Okay.
Probably no.
Okay. So if I lost my speech and I could never
say... If you don't grow that beard back.
If I lost my speech and I couldn't tell you ever again that I loved you, would you still love me?
Oh, I don't like this game. It's depressing. No.
Okay. So if I never did another thing for you as an act of service, if I never did another chore, and if I never did anything else like that.
I know where this is going.
Would you leave me?
Well, if you had no arms and legs, I'm sure that would be very difficult for you to do
anything. So would you leave me?
Maybe.
Okay. So that's an important one for you. If we couldn't spend time together.
Well, I mean, come on now.
No, I'm saying if I didn't make time for you. Would you leave me?
If you didn't make time to be present with me, not just be around me, because that's different. Because obviously, if you never saw me, it wouldn't work.
Exactly.
Out. Yeah, that would end it. Yeah. So I know what you're...
So quality time is basically why that's the one that's the most important. And basically why, for me, easily looking at it, is why it comes back to that being the one, is because a lot of these things, although they're important to you, for the most part, they may not be the main thing for you. But spending time together, quality time, and so that's why they say beauty is fleeting and all that stuff. It all leads into that because as you do get older, people age and maybe you aren't as classically beautiful or whatever, or youthful or whatever, but still there's something that brings people together. And it's usually that quality time is what I believe. And so.
So you're okay if I'm going to get old looking then?
Well, yeah, everybody gets old looking. But I'm just saying that, you know. To me, that's the easiest way. If you can sit down on my list and you can eliminate those things.
So yours is quality time too then?
Well, I'm different. And that's the ending thing for this.
Oh, so frustrating. Okay.
So one of the other things.
Hold on. Is this going to change our relationship?
No, it's not going to change our relationship at all.
Okay.
So what, before we get to that last, before we get to the part where I
blow my mind.
Proclaim the way that I am. And it won't blow your mind. You're going to be like, oh, yeah.
Is it totally the sixth love language?
This is the sixth love language. But it ties into what I really believe it ties into what the true intention of what I think that he was. What do you think the true intention of Dr. Chapman's intention with these five love languages? What do you think he was basically at the core wanting to do with this?
I don't know. I'm assuming he just wanted people to be able to communicate better.
Yeah, I think it's just tools for that. And I think that this definitely would not be just a medicine for a relationship. It's not going to be the salve. You can't just throw this on every problem and make it better.
Well, no. If anything was easy, people would be doing it.
Yeah. And I think that the biggest flaw with this is I believe that people really need what they need in a moment. So wherever the person is in their life, they may need that gift, or they may need to be touched. They may need a hug that brings them out, or they may need to be told that they're loved. You know, they're special at that time. So I think that in reality, really what is important is that you adjust to what the person needs in the time to make yourself successful with these languages. If they're all important to you, which they are all important to you, you've got to be able to transition from one to the other to be successful with using them. Otherwise, they're not going to work for you if you just lock into one. And so I think his intention was that they're tools, but they're not just, it's not a solution to fixing every problem.
It's not a multi-tool.
Yeah, it's not a multi-tool. And so you have to be able to know a person, know all these things that are important to them, But I think more important than knowing where they're at and having that rhythm of understanding them and developing that to know what they need at the specific time.
That's actually interesting that you say that, because like I came home and I was venting to, I was freaking out and I'm like, I need a hug right now. But then I was doing the dishes and I was tired and I was like, oh my gosh, you didn't do these things for me. So then I was like, I could have used you for in that acts of service at that point. But before it was physical touch when I was upset. So that actually is pretty insightful.
Mm-hmm. So that being said, and this is where you're going to be very frustrated at the end of this.
Oh, I hate when you do this stuff to me.
The way that my mind is wired and the way that I behave is that I'm never in any of these for very long. I thought I was a touch person, but I'm not really a touch person because it's only when I want to have sex. No, I'm just joking. But it just
so like once a day, you're a touch person.
No, I'm just saying. No, I mean, it's like you. I'm the same thing. It's just like there's not any of these that I fall into. And like today, it's going to be maybe I need to be told that I'm doing something well. But for the most part, for me, it's acts of service. I'm an acts of service person. I like to get acts of service. I like to have my back scratched. I like to be snuggled at night. I like to have the food made for me. These kind of things. I like you sending me food home with me. Those are the kind of things that are super important to me. But I'm all over the map, so there's really nothing that...
Doing your laundry for you right now?
Yeah. Well, I don't mind doing laundry. I could do laundry. I just don't know how to use a machine. But I would say that at this day and time, it's acts of service for me. But tomorrow it could be touch. And the next day it could be words of affirmation. But probably not.
You know, it's not frustrating to me because, like I said, if I don't feel like I fall heavily just into one category, then I can't expect that you would be that way either.
Yeah, and everybody, let's be honest, everybody wants to be the outlier. None of us want to admit that we're average, that we fit into the system. And I think anybody that came in here would be like, well, I'm not like that. I don't fit into just, I have all these, you know. So I think that that's human nature.
Nuh-uh. I told you that there was that one person that says, I'm this. Yeah. And he's that. She really relies heavily on this system. And I don't, it might be too much.
I mean, I really wonder if she's really thought about it though, because like I said, I think that you change, you know, I talk about how you change, your life changes every 5 years. We like to use these handicaps and we talked about being dependent on stuff, but it's like, oh, I can never do this because of this, or I'm lactose intolerant, or I am, what's the other one that people are always harping on?
Not nut free. Oh, the gluten-free?
Gluten-free, yeah. The gluten is just not a real thing. So if it's like 1% of the population has it, but everybody's, oh, I'm gluten. I can't have gluten. It'll make same thing. It's like.
But I know that I feel like she passes on things, or I can't do this with this guy because his love language is this. I mean, I have heard this, and to me, that's her process and that's what's happening. But maybe, yeah, maybe it needs a deeper delve into it, because most people I would hope are more complex in the moment because things change moment to moment.
So, you know, what's your final word on this, or your final words of advice on five love languages?
I think I'm not going to read the book after we just debunked.
Oh, you're an expert now. You don't need to read the book. Nobody needs to read, nobody here listening to this podcast needs to read the book.
I don't.
Unless they can figure out my goofy questions.
I do like to read. When we started dating, I did do a lot of research on relationships and how to be successful. Frankly, this didn't come up. And that's fine to me because I think that we are at least at a point where we're both willing to do what it takes. So I think if you have that attitude, I don't think that you necessarily need to rely so heavily on a lot of tools.
Yeah.
And if you're smart enough to have some experience too, that helps. So frankly, it's good information. The more information that you have about anything, the more successful you're going to be at it. As long as you just keep an open mind to a lot of different things that could help your relationship, and listening to the other person is probably where you're going to get most of the cues that you need.
Yeah. Well, I look at it as just leveling up your character. You know, if you're in this game, if you're trying to make love work, and I think this is just another way to level up your character. If you can use these gifts and see what their weaknesses are and see where their strengths are, it's going to help you be successful in some aspects.
I mean, have you ever actually relied on these in any relationship at all?
Well, no, but obviously I think about them. So, I mean, it's the information's there. I think it plays a part. The main thing that I got out of this book is that you want to adapt to other people. We all want to say, well, I need this, you know, and I talked about this too. I've harped on this. It's like go into every relationship, putting your needs first and saying, this is what I need. But once you get into that relationship, then there's a point where you have to start to adapt to the other person. You have to start thinking about their needs, and you should want to. I mean, if you're with somebody, you should want to do the things that make them happier. If you have a way to draw from that, which these love languages definitely point out to those things, if you can trip all of these things out, all five of these, if you can bring them out of the person that you're with, then you're going to be successful. You will be.
I think, though, it's hard for some people. Maybe it's that they're too selfish, that they don't want to go out of their way and do something that's uncomfortable for them. Because if you're the person that has to remind the other person to do the acts of service, like, oh, it'd be really nice if you picked me up on this or you did this for me once in a while. And you have to keep doing that. Then it's like they don't get it and they don't even want to try harder. So,
well, and we're not even – we haven't even touched on who's in power in the relationship and those kind of things. We've talked a little bit, but I mean, most relationships have a power base where one person is getting what they want and the other person's not getting as much as what they want.
What's happening in our relationship?
Well, that's another podcast we're going to have to cover, but we don't have enough time for all that today. But I mean, there's certain things like that that come into play that this doesn't cover. So, let us know if you
just put yourself up for another write-off.
Well, maybe so.
He just volunteered. I just want that out there.
Yeah. Well, tell us what you think. If you thought this was stupid, then let us know.
No, I don't want to know about it.
I do. I always want to know what people think, especially if they think I'm being a jerk or something like that.
Oh, come
on. I don't really care about that. But I mean, no, just seriously, I just something out there. Plus, I had to come up with something. So this was it. Wasn't ready.
Well, you putzed around this morning.
No, I always putz around this morning, but I get mental putzeration. This has been work.
Okay, I'm waiting.
All right, it's time for our listener question of the day, and this comes from Clint. He's out of Ankeny, Iowa, and we're not giving the ages. Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless it's pertinent. Is it pertinent?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
Clint says, I've been married for 12 years and have 2 school-age children. My wife has had to take over with much of the distance learning and entertainment of the kids by herself because I am deemed an essential worker and work long hours. Every time I have tried to be intimate with her, she says she is too tired or not in the mood. What could I do to break up this pattern?
If you can't
help, you have to say, Clint, you have to refer to him in name. You're talking to Clint because this is for him. He's listening right now and he wants to know.
Ugh, Clint.
You don't have to say it. That's what I
was thinking. Oh, well, here's the deal. I think I understand working long hours and whatever, because I have to do both. I have to work still, and I still have to sometimes do the distance learning, and that's sometimes an additional 2 hours at the end of the day. Women will do whatever they need to do to make the family work. They will sacrifice so much of themselves, and I don't always think
you're the backbone of America.
Yeah, I don't always think that men will do it. So, oh my gosh, you have to work. Boo freaking who. Ask her if there's some of it that you can do, if there's a part of it, or when she gets home and maybe you can put the kids to bed. Ask her. She's going to know exactly what it is that she thinks that you can do. If you've been together for 12 years, she's going to know where your strengths and weaknesses are. So ask her first instead of guessing, and then that should probably tell you. But if you can't for some reason muster the time to help her with whatever, then hire somebody to do it or ask a family member to pitch in or something.
Yeah, it's great.
Because I'm sorry, but if a woman is crabby and pissy at you and talking under her breath and exhausted, she's not going to put the energy into having sex with you.
Yeah. Well, and I want to point out a couple things. The first thing is real interesting. What you said is that women will do what it takes to make the family work. And what's really interesting about that is it goes back to my point of how inherently strong these gender DNA things are. I mean, because that goes way back to primal animal instincts. I mean, the female animal is always the one that rears the young. Look at a lion pride. It's like the females hunt the food, catch the food. They raise the babies. They do just about all the work. And the male lion lays around and looks cool with a big mane until somebody comes by and he fights them. That's basically how it goes.
Yeah, plus he's got multiple women.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, if that's all the way grained back in animals, on a way up, it's just like, I just wonder how many years of evolution it'll take to get that not in. Because I mean,
it'll never stop.
It's not even really a social construct, though. I'm saying it is a social construct of how things have been done, but it's almost like so much deeper than that and hardwired different than that. So I agree with you that is the case.
Here's the deal. It's men work even if it's just a stay-at-home mom thing and it doesn't have anything to do with this current situation. It's like he thinks that I'm bringing home the paycheck, which supports the family. So that's all I have to do. That's my part. And that is not true in most cases, especially today, not with what women expect. So a lot of men then, because they get very complacent in their role, they see themselves after the kids, after the dog, they're the last one on the list. And it's like, well, all I'm asking for is sex. Well, no, that's not really, she's got that on the very bottom of her list.
Yeah, it's low priority.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to answer Clint's question by saying, I want you to go ahead and Google search on YouTube or somewhere wherever you get music at and look up Larry Gardner's Lover with a Feeling. And he's going to give you a breakdown instructions on what you need to get this girl into the mind frame of doing this. But basically what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to separate her from what's going on. And it's going to take some work. You know, the moment she walks in the door, the first thing you're going to have to do is ask her how her day went. Okay. And when she's telling that how her day went, you're going to already have things set up for her to separate herself. You're going to say, hey, go upstairs, change your clothes, do whatever you got to do, take a bath. You might even set that bath up for her, or shower or whatever, make everything calm. You're going to get the kids separated. You're going to get them quiet. You're going to get them fed. You're going to do all these things. And then when she's done, then you're going to have her come down, and then you're going to have her food for her, get her something to eat and get her relaxed. Then you're going to have to do some things, and I'll let Larry explain that to you, but you're going to have to get her desensitized and relaxed, whether it's a back rub or something like that. And you have to do all this stuff without any kind of guarantee that it's going to pay off. Okay. If you, at any time you're expecting to get somewhere with that, you're going to ruin it. So you have to go through that with the mindset that I'm not going to get anything from this. I'm just doing it. Because the moment that she realizes that you're doing all this without the expectation, she's going to be splitting them legs, buddy. So, I mean, that's what you got to do. And so, like I said, I want you to listen to that song because it's going to tell you exactly what you got to do. But that's just a breakdown.
That's, you're going to all acts of service, though.
No, no, not acts of service. First, you ask her how her day was. That was the main thing.
Quality time. Wait, no, that's words of affirmation.
That's words of affirmation. Tell me what happened today. So she can get that all off her chest. You know, it might be, well, this kid did this. You need to beat this kid for this reason.
It's also quality time, because if you ask her and then you aren't paying attention.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to be engrossed in it. And it's got to be like, you come home from work and see what skies come down and say, oh, I've been working all day. Well, I guarantee you, and I just guarantee you that this is the case. No matter what you're doing, whether you're a firefighter or a police officer or you're whatever you're doing, it's not going to be anything compared to what somebody stuck in a house with kids is going to have to endure. So, I mean, just keep that in mind. If put yourself in those shoes, it's like, if you wanted to be in that, I would not want to do that. That's not,
I wouldn't want
to
do that.
Exactly. Nobody would want to do that. So you're going to have to come home, like the words of affirmation, you're going to have your positivity. You're not going to complain about anything that happened to you. You're not even going to talk about it unless she asks you what happened. And when you give it to her, you're going to say, oh, I had it pretty easy today. You know, tell me what you had. Oh, it sounds like you had it a lot worse than I did. Make it all about her. And then from there, you get her away from everything. Tell her your work's done for the day. I'm taking over. And you're going to have to do it. I guarantee you.
At that first point, do you say, I love you, I know you, whatever, but you still look great? Is that,
you might even bring her flowers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't think a lot of guys would want to put this amount of work in. I'm just saying.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is what I've said from the beginning, haven't I? Do what you got to do to get where you want to get. And it sounds to me like this guy's in the blue zone right now, and he needs to get.
At what point does the request become too much and it's not worth it in the end, though? If, like, if he says, okay, these are the things. Like, if he knew all the things that would get him exactly what he wanted, and he was like, I can't, I'm not going to do that. Well, like, there's got to be a point at which the cost benefit is just not working. All he wants is sex.
But well, then I know if it was me, if I was Clint, if this was Andrew in Ankeny, Iowa, and he wasn't getting sex, he would either A, be gone, or he would do what he had to do to get it. You've got to make a mindset, and it should never get to this point. I don't think it should get to this point.
But it always
Always ultimately does. And so you're going to have to change your lifestyle. If you want to be able to get down and get dirty, or whatever you want to call it, at a moment's notice, whenever you want to, then all this stuff has to be going on a regular basis in small amounts. Not in this. This is like
repairing.
This is like emergency. This is like Homeland Security has called you in and you've got the job to do to get yourself back where you need to get. And so you got to do this. I'm sorry, brother, but this is where it's got to go. This is a one-time deal. You do all this once, right? And then you can start breaking this apart in different little levels of things. But like I said,
true. That is true. You got to repair the leak and then work on the cracks or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's a flood coming here, brother. There's a flood coming here. You got to stop that leak. You got to get them walls repaired. And then, you know, once everything's done and the water's stable and you got where you need to get, then you can start to, you know, relax and do some other things. But I think, you know.
Yeah, or you're going to get the, we need to talk.
Yep. You look up Larry and you listen to that song. I'll tell you what, that's what you got to do.
I think I need to go look up that song.
It's a great song. I love it. In fact, I'm probably listening to it again today.
Why have you never played this for me?
I don't know. I just thought about it now. Fits good into this.
How very profound of you.
That's right. I'm the guy.
Well, that's all for today. Thank you for listening to the G.I. Joe and Barbie in Love podcast. If you would like us to answer your dating or relationship questions, you can find us on Facebook, or you can email us at gijoeandbarbieinlove@gmail.com. Until next time, just remember, when it comes to dating, never ever settle.
Yeah, it's either death or glory. Hoorah.